Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Today, Mike and I tackle the NHL Finals, squared away at 2, take a look at Game 7 of the NBA Finals, recap the U.S. Open, talk a little pop culture, and Mike will bring us home with Mike's Beer Blast. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. Had a little hiatus there.
Yeah, yeah.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, yeah. Had the week off. Gave us a chance to recharge the batteries and go full force this week. I guess we'll start off with the hockey. Chicago, big OT win last night. They even a series at 2. I feel like, you know, 3 games gone to OT. The one that didn't was 2-0, was competitive. And I feel so far you can't ask for much more than from these finals. How about you?
Yeah, no, they're both really, really good teams. I thought if Boston would have won last night, it would have been pretty much over.
Yeah.
But you can got to give the Blackhawks credit for giving that overtime goal. They're just fun games to watch. You know, I don't understand how everybody doesn't watch playoff hockey, man.
I know.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I could see, like, maybe not following regular season religiously. Once it gets to the playoffs, you know, I feel like that would be the time to watch. Even my girlfriend even missed. She's not, like, she'll watch games with me now and then, but she loves watching. She watched, like, every playoff game with me during the Rangers run because it's just so intense and, you know, stakes are so high. So, yeah, I'm with you. I feel like it should be much more watched than it really is. Do you think that's part on the league for not marketing themselves better?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of a polarizing sport, too, because if you live in a southern part of the country, I just feel like hockey's not that big.
Yeah.
You know, so whereas if it's a part of your culture, like in Canada, everybody up there loves hockey,
yeah,
you know. So if it was a bigger part of our culture and it was more accessible to play, I totally think, you know, it'd be up there. But it's just too hard for an average kid to play hockey and really get into it.
It's expensive.
And I think those are the sports that, you know, really become mainstream are the ones that are highly accessible and, you know, anybody can play at the age of 4 or 5.
That's true, yeah.
And fall in love with it for your whole life. So I think hockey has a huge disadvantage there. Yeah, they could do a better marketing, but I don't know if marketing would ever solve the problem of getting everyone in this country on the hockey bandwagon.
That's true. Yeah,
yeah.
So I think they've probably come to the realization that they're more of it's like a cult following. Let's just market to our fans.
Oh, how pumped up do the playoff spots get you?
Oh, they're great. Have you seen the handshake one?
Yes. Fantastic.
That's really good, yeah.
And I feel like every year they do a great job for the playoffs and to amp you up. If you are a hockey fan, you can't help but get super excited when you see them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. I agree. Like, I just thought that was a cool one. Just, you know, I think the tagline's, it's not official till you shake on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. So,
so good.
They do a really good job with those.
I also heard a fun little news story this morning. Supposedly, the Austin market, right before the final goal was scored, the NBC local stations switched over to a infomercial.
Wow.
And then once they realized they had screwed up about 30 seconds later, they flashed back to it, and the final goal had already been scored. How'd you feel about that one?
That's bad. I mean, I mean, at least it didn't happen in Chicago or Boston. That would have been really bad.
That would have been really bad.
But I feel like people who are watching it, of all the moments to flip, you know, it couldn't have happened, like, you know, in between the third period and overtime, it had to happen right before the goal. It's like a Murphy's Law type thing.
Yeah, that would have scarred me for life if I was a Blackhawks or a Boston fan. I would never forget that moment.
No, yeah, I mean, especially, you know, I guess, especially Chicago, I think, is everyone who scored the goal.
Yeah,
that's rough, and I'm sure they'll. Well, it'll be interesting to see how much flack that station gets for it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
Their only saving grace, I think, is that they were out of market affiliate.
Yeah.
Other than that, but there's still, I think there's going to be some.
They're going to get hammered.
Some problems there. Another thing on this series, more so, I guess, you know, Game 4, you know, it's a 6-5 game. We talked about this with Lundqvist and like in LA, you know, Quick. These guys are really good goalies, and they're probably a little frustrated because our teams don't score that much.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, last night, Chicago. I mean, do you think? Players at a certain point, like how many goals do we have to score? Do you think it gets on their skin a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's got to be very frustrating because they've been playing lights out before. I think last night was like just one of those things. You know, you see every now and then some defensive-minded teams. They just, I don't know, something's in the air and they all break out, you know. The pucks are just bouncing right that night, and they all fall in. But you know, Rask has been playing out of his mind,
really good,
you know, the entire series. And I think one of those nights it was just a, you know, the firepower finally came out. Because, you know, the Blackhawks had to have a really good offense. So, you know, they should be scoring that much every series. But, you know, Rask might, you know, in combination just having a down night and the pucks bouncing the right way. But the fact that Boston came back and did the same thing and kept it a game was really interesting.
Yeah, I just thought about that because I felt like Chicago went up 3-1 and 4-2. And then Boston came right back. Then when they got Chicago went up 5-4, it's like, all right, we and then they score again. I wonder if the Blackhawks were like, God, you know, now we got to score 6 goals.
Yeah, exactly. And you know the Pens, you were thinking about that multiple times too. Yeah. It's like, kind of 4-1. They just coast to the end, but no, it wasn't good enough. And, you know, the Capitals did the same thing too. And, yeah, I think it was just a combination of, you know, bad goalie night and, the offenses were—they're just playing well.
Yeah, because I think there's a few power play goals. So that's always a good way to get on the board too. Although I was surprised, I think Chicago's first goal was a shorthanded goal, which you don't see as much in the playoffs.
Don't
usually,
see that often.
Teams a little more disciplined by the time you get to the
the
playoffs. It was always fun. Always fun to see. So you know, it's a best of three, and you know, Chicago's got two of them at home. Even though I feel like both teams have gotten a game on the road, so I don't know how much home ice will play a factor into the series. But
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like we talked about earlier, if Boston would have went up 3-1, it would have been over. But now that it's tied at 2, I think it can go the distance.
Yeah, I think so, too. I wouldn't be surprised if we're checking out a Game 7.
Yeah, which would definitely.
Be fun, which would be fun. Hopefully that one will go into a couple OTs.
Yep.
So over the last week, Ovechkin got his third Hart Trophy.
Yes, he did.
Which I thought was well-deserved.
OV. Yeah. No, he had a good year. I mean, started off shaky, but then went on fire, man. And just, you know, it's just he wins the MVP, but I just don't still see him as a captain of the team, and that really bothers me.
Yeah.
You know, I want that MVP for your team to be a captain, too. He's got the C on his chest, and it's amazing for him to make all these goals, but I think you should just transcend the stats and, you know, be more than just be able to put pucks in the net. So, and I don't think he's there yet, and hopefully, you know, this year, a full year under the belt of Oates. Oates seems kind of like a player's coach, so maybe he can connect with Ovi on that next level and turn him into Crosby-esque type player.
That'd be good for them. Because I was curious about how his playoffs were the years he won MVP. In 08, they lost in 7 to the Flyers. He had 9 points, which is not, you know, for 7 games is fine.
Yep.
And then 09 was his really good year. That's the year they lost to the Penguins in the second round. He had 21 points in 14 games. So I thought this past playoffs was kind of rough for me. Only had the 2 points.
Yep.
But like you were saying, with his goal scoring, at least, you know, watching him, I never feel like he has that hop on my back, boys. He scores a lot of goals, I just feel like he doesn't have that, like, you know, hop on.
Yeah. And I think as a part of his, you know, he just needs to, I don't think he's really adapted, you know. He always shoots the puck the same way. It's always predictable. You know what he's going to do. And, you know, he just doesn't. You know, he's the pretty shot. He doesn't get the tough, dirty goals, which you need to get, too, in addition to just being a, you know, a wing, you know, amazing shooter from the wing. You got to go in there and shovel some pucks in there, too.
That was part of Tortorella's problem with Gabrick. He felt he was too much of a perimeter player.
Yeah.
Really drove him nuts.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, how many times do you see Crosby get those goals on the doorstep?
Oh, man. I mean, that's why he's so great.
Yeah.
He just knows where that puck's going to be. So yeah, so I'm, you know, obviously extremely happy for him, and I hope he has a good off season. Doesn't party too much with the panties on top of his head. I don't know if you ever saw that photo floating around.
I think so, no.
Yeah, he's ridiculous on his party boats, just drinking it up. But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens this year because we're, you know, full season under the belt under Oates, and you know, it's. to Ovi's credit, it's kind of miraculous what they did. All new system. Only a week worth of practice before the season started. And they were the worst team in the league at one point. You know, had the worst record and came all the way back and got into the playoffs. So you got to give them big props for that.
No doubt. Yeah, that's why I said I thought it was well deserved, just because of what he did to get them into the playoffs, just to get there. And I thought, you know, Crosby had a great year too. I think if he had got hurt, he might have won.
Yeah,
but no, I thought Ovechkin. It was I have no problem with him winning that either.
Yeah, I mean, after the, you know, Ovechkin in the beginning when he first came in the league was unbelievable, and over the last couple of seasons, you know, I by far think, even though I'm the biggest Capitals fan in the world, Crosby's by far the better hockey player, overall hockey player. And we have a buddy that's a big Pens fan, and me and my other buddy just kept on jabbing him, saying Ovi's going to win the MVP, and he would get so upset, because if Crosby didn't get hurt, that guy was going to win MVP, yeah. No problem. But it's just funny that Ovi won it, and once again, Crosby gets hurt, and he can't get the heart.
Yeah, so yeah, but yeah, good for Ovechkin. Yeah, I think it took him time to adapt to the position change too.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I think he'll be fine. It really just depends on the work he puts in the summer.
Yep.
And then lastly, just in the hockey, looks like my team is going to get a new coach. I think
I see that.
It's been weird. I haven't really talked much about it this week, but I think they're supposed to have a press conference. Tomorrow, actually, I think, to introduce Vigneault from Vancouver.
So I don't know a ton about him. Do you have any insight on him?
Just I know he was with Vancouver, I think, six, seven years.
Okay.
And it seemed like they had a lot of regular season success, but then flamed out in the playoffs, which I'm sure you kind of know how.
Familiar with that.
Yeah. So that's my only concern. But, you know, I think what part of the problem was the Luongo and goal. I think, you know, especially the year they lost to Boston in the finals, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So now, I mean, he's got, you know, he doesn't have as talented of a team, but he's got the goalie now.
Yeah. You need that goalie. If you don't have a goalie, you don't have anything.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll be enough to, you know, because obviously he knows what he's doing. Because I think they've, every year they made the playoffs, they finished first in their division. They won two President's Trophies. So he's got, you know, he knows how to work with talent. And I'm just looking, I wasn't one of the guys calling for Tortorella's head when they lost, but it's one of those things where you just got to kind of move on now. They got a new guy in place. And I'm curious to see what kind of system he instills.
Yeah.
I'm hoping on the defensive end, he'll. I didn't like Tortorella's style where he just had the team just kind of collapse around the net and try to block shots. I just felt like that just let teams open to just pass the puck around so they found their perfect. It's almost like the Rangers were on the penalty kill even when they were even strength.
Yeah, you're just passing around and you find that angle.
Yeah, so I think that just leaves chances for one bad bounce, and, you know.
Yeah.
And with you have one of the best goalies in the world, you don't need your guys blocking shots all the time.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if he makes the right moves, you guys could be deadly. So. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Have you read any reactions from the players, or see the actual team, how they've reacted to all these changes so far?
Well, I saw a story because people seem to think that it was Lundqvist that Tortorella pushed out.
Oh, really?
And he came out with a story this week saying he didn't have anything to do with it. Whether he did, I mean, he's not going to come out in public.
Yeah, well, obviously he's not going to say anything.
Yeah, but people seem to think, though, that after the players' exit interviews, after they lost, they think that had something to do with him getting fired because... Yeah. Performance-wise, you know, he got into the playoffs again, and so I just don't know. It could have been because of his record. I'm kind of along the thought too that I think some of the players probably has had enough of it, because I think same thing happened to him in Tampa. I think after a while, his just style just
The
person I think rates on players.
Yeah, that personality you only can handle for so long until you start pissing people off.
Yeah,
And then thinking about it, Lundqvist has to be one of the most frustrated athletes,
absolutely,
right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he just plays so well year after year, and he always gets shorthanded.
Yeah, I think even if he did have a few things, you know, Daniel said about Tortorella, I'm sure the organization's thinking, you know, he's a free agent after next year. Do we really want to take a chance of losing him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's get a coach in here who has a style that's more conducive to Lundqvist's style of play.
Yeah, he's definitely a person you can build a team around.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see. You'll have a full season to work.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued at what's going to happen this season. And, you know, before you know it, we'll be talking about regular season hockey.
I know. I mean, it's such a short off season.
Yeah, I love it.
Because the finals end next week, and then July, August, September is preseason, October, the season starts again. So it's really good. It's really good. And then the other finals, we got the NBA. We're going game seven, which is always exciting. I still can't believe Miami won that game six.
Yeah, they were walking out the trophy, right?
Yeah, they're walking out the trophy. You can actually see the yellow rope around the court.
Cause they got the rope going and everything. I watched I didn't get to that. I saw highlights, but I watched till the end of regulation. But, like I've said a million times, not a huge basketball fan.
Yeah.
But my question was, and we talked about this earlier, how do you explain these just huge lopsided losses in the middle of it? Is that a common basketball? I feel like it happens a lot in basketball.
It does. I don't think it's not as much. I feel like this series especially it's been kind of odd. And but as a whole, I think sometimes I think part of it is if a team goes on a big run, and I feel like the other team just, I don't know, if depending on their mental strength, they just kind of
get lazy,
fall out of it, and just I feel like if that was not an elimination game last night for the Heat, I don't know if they would have made that effort to come back.
Yeah, they would have let it slide.
Once the Spurs went up double digits, I feel like they had no choice but to turn it on and make that comeback. But at this point, I figured these supposed to be the two best teams in the league in the finals, and you shouldn't see teams winning by 15, 20. I think the Heat won one game almost by 30 points. Yeah. So how does this happen in the finals?
And I think you made a good point. I feel like basketball is one of those sports that I do watch, and sometimes you visibly see it looks like the guys just don't care and they're kind of slacking.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you watch a playoff hockey game and those guys are fighting every second they're on the ice.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's what attracts me to that sport so much, is those guys are giving 120% all the time.
Yeah.
Not too often do you see any Stanley Cup playoff game where the guys are just, wandering around the ice, not giving it their all.
Yeah. You can't do it. You'll get smoked. Yeah.
So I think that, that's a huge difference right there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause I think, especially in basketball, you see guys, I think, at times, depending on how quick the pace is the team plays, if they're bringing the ball kind of slowly, you got guys just hanging around.
Yeah. And I think you can fall into that place if you're going to transition between the two courts. If guys are just jogging around, you can kind of fall into that slow pace. Whereas a hockey or a football, you got to be on all the time too. You got to run faster, harder, and stronger than anybody else on that field. So, and hockey's the same way. So I think it's just kind of the intensity of it. And honestly, I think that's why baseball got old for me too. There's just too much waiting around.
There is, I feel like baseball should make more efforts to speed their game up.
Mm-hmm.
I still think one of the things when I watch games, I hate when every pitch batters step out of the box to readjust their batting gloves and stuff.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's like there's no. Once you're in the box for an at bat, unless it's a foul ball or something, you got to stay in the box for the whole at bat.
Yeah, it's a huge problem in golf too. I mean, they cut a lot of that pre-routine stuff out, but those professional golfers are taking forever to hit the ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So with the Heat, a couple years ago they orchestrated this, this big three, Bosch and LeBron's signed free agent contracts to join D Wade in Miami, and they've been in the finals all 3 years. They lost the first one, won last year, and then they're in Game Seven. So it was kind of brought up that if they lose this to the Spurs, is it considered a failure based on their expectations and stuff? Because I think most fans would kill for three straight appearances in the finals, no matter what the sport is.
Yeah, I think. So not so much in Bosch's and Wade's career, although Wade's had been a great player, but I think it really does matter to LeBron because he's held to that standard.
Absolutely,
he's one of the best basketball players in the world, and you're judged by championships, so you got to win them.
I think NBA more than any other sport.
Yeah, definitely.
The greats are always
And how long have they been? They were comparing him to Michael Jordan before he even won a championship.
Exactly.
And now he's got the opportunity to start winning them. And there's the whole debate that his, he had to move to another town to get two superstar talents around him.
Exactly. Yeah.
So even if he does blow it out of the water and win seven or eight, he'll still not be good as Michael Jordan.
They always put that asterisk next to it.
Yeah, they always put an asterisk next to him. So if it's that important to him to be one of the greatest, he better win, and he better win as many as possible.
As possible, yeah. Yeah, I think so, too, because it's funny, because I think about the Bills when they lost four Super Bowls in a row. I never thought that there was that people never, I mean, people had fun with it, but never did they were considered a failure. I think people just considered them a good team that just happened to
lose. Exactly.
Yes, but I think this is different. I think also just with the Heat, there's a lot of hate towards that team too. So I think teams are more willing to kind of bury them if they don't win this championship.
Yeah, and you know, I don't, you know, what he did to switch to Miami, that was a little ridiculous, but I'll put some of the blame on ESPN and not on his shoulders and the people that surrounded him. So I've never really hated him.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, same here.
So he doesn't come off as like, seems like a horrible person to me. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the crap that he went through for how young he was, you know, I feel like he handled most of it pretty well.
I think so too.
You know, he's not in the headlines, you know, driving drunk, making it rain at strip clubs or anything like that.
Yeah, he stays out of trouble. Yeah.
So it's impressive to stay out of trouble, you know, because, you know, put yourself in his shoes.
I mean, he was a multimillionaire at 18.
Yeah. At 18, you can drive your, when are you driving a Hummer to high school or something like that? You know, so I can't even imagine how your thought process at that point with that much money being so young.
I know, yeah.
So overall, I think he's done a good job. I mean, that was his one hiccup, going to Miami and the way he dealt with it.
I agree.
You know, if he would have went to Miami and not made a showboat about it, he would have been fine.
I agree. I think that's what people had a problem with. And then just with the Heat, take away from the players and to the fans, I saw when they were down, I guess they're down 5 points, like 30 seconds left, I think people started to make their way out, and then when they saw that they tied the game, they're trying to bang on the door and get back in. I thought it was kind of funny to see. Just as far as a sports fan, like, do you think like a closeout game? Do you think fans should leave early? I mean, what do you think is the protocol for something like that?
I mean, Game 6 in the finals, you shouldn't leave until you see zeros on that clock.
Yeah,
you know? I've heard the argument. Oh, people bought the tickets; they should have the right to leave. You know, go in and out as needed, but you know, at that point, you should stay till the bitter end. I've always, you know, by principle, stayed to the end of the game. I think there was only one game back in Penn State when they were getting blown out by Iowa in the early 2000s, and we thought about leaving, and luckily enough, we ended up staying, and it went into overtime. They still lost, but I think they had maybe three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to bring it back to get into overtime. But you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so you should stay till the end. But I, you know, on the flip side, I can understand somebody being really bitter.
Yeah.
You know, because they love their team so much and they're like, they're going to lose. I don't even want to see this happen.
Yeah.
But on the ticket, it says no reentry. Yeah. So get over it. Don't bang on the door, pop it up on your cell phone or something and watch the live stream.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I know for me, I'm with you. I probably would not have left either way.
Mm-hmm.
But I, if people want to leave, they want to, you know, if they think they're going to lose, they want to be trapped. I guess I can understand. But the thing I had an issue was you can't expect them to let you back in.
Yeah.
You make that choice. When you leave, you're making a choice that, you know, okay, I've given up. So I just think that I don't think people should have expected the security would let them. Because this day and age, you just can't do it.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about, the logistics of that. I mean, that's, you know, if you let people back in, that's prime time for somebody to bring in a bomb or something crazy like that. And you just can't take that risk.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely a good no exceptions.
Yeah,
no exceptions policy. So
yeah, and it's not like it's you know, in 2-point font all the way at the bottom. It's pretty much understood nowadays. If you leave a stadium, you're probably not getting back in.
Yeah, most places I think have signs above the doors now too. There's no reentry. So my guess is tonight for Game 7, people are going to stay until there are zeros on the clock.
Yeah.
I think they've learned their lesson. So yeah, that should be another good game tonight.
And I actually think I might watch that thing, and maybe not in full, but I'll definitely watch the peek end in, of it.
Check out, just to see how. Especially if it's close late.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I think it'll be good. I think. Be interesting just because they went to overtime, so a lot of guys play a lot of minutes. So I'm curious to see, and they only had one day off. It'll be interesting to see how fresh anyone.
Yeah, how is. The hell's holding up?
Yeah, so that'll be good tonight. And then this past weekend with the golf, the U.S. Open.
Oh man, I love the U.S. Open.
Yeah, so how'd you like it this weekend?
Well, I had a fantastic day. Went out and played in a tourney with the Pops in the morning, and then came home in the afternoon and caught. Pretty much like the second half of the round. It was funny though. Everyone thought that the pros were going to eat this course up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. but it ended up destroying them. I think the, you know, the rain helped the course out, so that rough got real thick. And the greens looked brutally fast and, you know, had a lot of tough angles. But as much, you know, I don't know why I don't really, I just don't like Phil. I'm not a huge fan of him.
I was going to ask you about that. Like, yeah.
I don't know, he just seems like kind of a dorky dude, but and there's no reason for me to hate him. Yeah. I love Tiger, and I probably shouldn't love Tiger, but I do anyways. Yeah. So maybe that's where it comes from, because they've always tried to pit them as like the rivalry in golf. Yeah. But he's just a good guy, you know. He got in, took that red eye and then shot 2 or 3 under on his first round because of his daughter's 8th grade graduation. So it's just, it's tough to see anybody fall apart like that. And I think this is his, something like 6th, 2nd place finish in the U.S. Open. And then, you know, it just brought that memories of 2006 in Wingfoot. He was up 2 on the 18th and then shouldn't have hit driver anyway, pole hooked it and ended up double bogeying the hole. I mean, all he had to do was bogey a hole.
Yeah.
Bogey to a pro is nothing.
Exactly. Yeah.
But he ended up doing it again, just to see him fall apart. But it was a wild day. I mean, even a Stricker on the 2nd or 3rd hole, just like straight shanked a ball. I don't think I've seen a pro straight shank a ball in a long time. Yeah. And a guy that caliber, you know, I've seen some no name guys kind of shank balls, but he hit it like 30 yards straight right. I mean, it was unbelievable. So maybe there's just something in the air and that. The course just looked brutal.
Yeah,
and, you know, they had one really short par 3, but the rest of them were like 250 yards, you know. You know it's a long par 3 when the guys are taking 3 woods off the tee to try to get there. You know, I think that was probably my only one complaint of the course is, you know, give them a chance. Like, you know, let them score.
Sure,
it's just not even fun to try to hit a ball 270 yards to like a 30-yard wide green. You know, it's just that's just no fun. You just see a bunch of guys dumping balls in bunkers or coming up short or hitting it in the rough. So, yeah, other than that, I think that was my only complaint. The course looked really cool. And I was always a fan of those, you know, old classic country club courses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, Oakmont is another example of one. So, and then I feel good for Justin Rose. He seems like a good guy. And he's always, you know, he's always been on the cusp, and you know, he could win a major and he finally pulled it through. And it's interesting. I think, I'm pretty sure he was working with Sean Foley, who's Tiger's swing coach too. And he was, you know, Justin Rose was one of the guys Tiger was like, I really like his swing, want to kind of emulate that style. And he's the one that, you know, ends up winning the Open. As far as Tiger goes, I just don't think he was there. I mean, he was there going into the weekend, you know. That's another thing. Everyone was like, Tiger had the, you know, worst U.S. Open. He was only 3 back. 3 or 4 back. I think it was 4 back. He was 3 over and Phil was 1 under going into the weekend. So he had his chance. He was not hitting the iron sharp and it was the worst putting display I think I've ever seen him do. So it was bad. But, you know, still having one of the best years of his career. So can't count the guy out. And, you know, he's that type of guy that went home steaming. And just make him work that much harder. So, but I, you know, it was a great weekend. I always love watching the majors. I can't wait for the British.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I thought about you on Sunday because I know Phil had a chance to be birdied. He would have forced a playoff. I know you don't like – I was wondering if you don't like Phil that much, but were you kind of rooting for him
absolutely.
To get the playoff? Yeah.
Yeah, so I was at, you know, my dad's house up in Pennsylvania, and, you know, it started later because of all the delays.
Yeah,
so it was close to 7:30 when that all ended. And then about like 6:30, 7 o'clock, I was like, we probably should go because I got a long drive home. But I ended up sticking it out anyways. And it's funny, he had not hit the shot yet, But my stepmom goes, we know who won the tournament, and she totally gave it away that Phil had not made the shot. Because if it goes to a playoff, you actually play a whole another 18 holes next Monday. Yep. So we knew he didn't make the shot before he hit it, and she totally spoiled it for me. Like, I just waited all this time for you to tell me because your little Twitter feed popped up who won the Open.
Oh, that's rough.
But, yeah, I was definitely rooting for him, and sure enough, he came damn close to holding the thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the best short game players in the world. So, yeah, it was fun.
Are you bummed that I saw Tiger's not going to play in his tournament? It's his tournament. Yeah,
it is his tournament. Yeah. It's something like it's like this third time now he hasn't played in his own tournament.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine with him sitting out. I would like rather watch him in the British Open.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I want him to be healthy for the major, get a shot at that major. I had the pleasure of watching him, I think it was last year, when he won it, and he sank a birdie putt on like 16, so that was fun to watch. So I've seen him play it before. If I had never seen him and I had tickets to this next week, I'd be pretty pissed. But, I'd much rather, as a golf fan, see him contend in the British.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, I make that trade as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good stuff. So since we didn't meet last week, we get a chance to, talk about the Game of Thrones finale.
Good old Game of Thrones.
Yeah. We got wrapped up season 3. What did you think about the last episode?
You know, so it looks like they're following this formula of the second to last episode being the big bombshell.
Yep.
And then, it just was, I don't know, it's kind of getting annoying to me. The last two seasons, it's like all this build-up, one crazy episode, and then the last episode, it's just build-up to the next season.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of build-up going on, and I think, you know, it's just a product of having so many stories, you know. I feel like you could take this, make this series a 20-year-long series.
Really could.
You know, and just center on different families each season. Mm-hmm. But it was good. It was okay. It was interesting to see Snow make it back to the Wall. How Lannister popped up in the castle at the end. Mm-hmm. It's exciting to see Daenerys amass this huge army.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. And the Red Woman and what's that guy? The Onion Knight is what they call him. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. What did you think about it?
I'm with you. I thought it was good, but it felt incomplete.
Yeah.
I just, because everything I wanted to see, it felt like they kind of showed, and then they pulled the curtain down real quick.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted, my most thing I wanted to really see was when Jaime got back.
Yeah, definitely.
And he saw Cersei, and it was like, I thought it was like 15 seconds, and then bam, and that's all.
And that was it. And they did a lot of that, pretty much for every storyline. They gave you a little tidbit, and then, like you said, shut the curtain. Whereas, and that I felt like the first season has been the best by far. I loved Ned Stark's character.
Yep.
And then they do the whole Dragon Queen thing at the end when she emerges from the fire.
Yeah.
And that was like, a huge cliffhanger to end the season. So.
Yeah, then last year you had the White Walkers,
Yeah, the White Walkers too.
And this year it was just kind of her, they're like embracing her, calling her mother. It felt a little bit flat, I think.
Yeah, very flat, I think. So, yeah, but it was okay. It just sucked you have to wait so long for the next season,
Yeah, it's tough with cable, like network, you wait, over the summer and you're back. But yeah, cable shows, you're waiting almost, like 9 months.
Yeah, it's forever. So I wish they could just fast forward to make them all and I could watch them all in a row.
Yeah.
It's like it almost makes me want to just hold off for 3 years.
Okay.
Not watch it, and then have 2 or 3 seasons to watch back to back.
Oh, yeah.
But you'd never get through that in this day and age.
No, just with Twitter and the social media and just that.
You'd find the ending to each season eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, I was proud of myself because Grey's Anatomy, I fell behind on the episodes. So I had like the last 7 episodes of the season on my DVR, and I was somehow able to avoid knowing how the season ended. I don't know how I did it.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Are they still making new seasons of that?
Yeah, it got renewed for,
Wow, that's impressive. How many seasons is that?
It's going to be, this year will be, coming up will be season 10, I believe.
Holy crap, that's a long time.
Because around the 5th season, I was kind of like, oh man, I kind of joked that they're going to be like ER.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're, 5 seasons away from ER, I think.
That's insane. Do you watch The Killing at all?
I don't, no.
Yeah, that just started up, and this looks like it's going to be... So they took for the first two seasons was one killing, which I thought was a little too much. Yeah, you know, you should do a killing a season.
Sure.
But it looks like this season they're doing, you know, one whole case. And Peter Sarsgaard,
mm-hmm.
that's his name.
Yeah.
I think he's a great actor. And he's like kind of the crazy inmate on death row. So he's got a really interesting character.
Oh, cool.
And it's like a serial killer this time. So it looks really interesting. I actually watched like 2.5-3 straight hours of it last night
because
I couldn't. I watched the first episode, and it was one of those I had 3 or 4 built up, so I just watched them straight through because I kept on wanting to know what was going on.
Yep,
so,
I know how that goes.
I think I'm gonna let another 3 or 4 build up till I watch it again, but it looks like it's gonna be pretty good.
Cool. Well, yeah, I've heard about that. I'll check that one out.
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me is the main star. It's not that she's not. Well, she's not that attractive, but she's just so plain.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't have really a good character. And then her sidekick, he kind of falls flat too.
Mm-hmm.
So the actors and actresses are not great, but, and it's not, I don't think it's them as actors or actresses, it's just their characters are not that great.
Yeah.
But as far as storyline, the storyline's fantastic.
Okay, so it's more story-driven, I
guess. Yeah, and I think this year, now that they got a Peter Sarsgaard-type guy that is a really good actor, I think it adds that little dynamic that it needed, so it should be a good season.
That's good, yeah. That's always good when a show does that, kind of re-energizes it when you add... Sometimes it can go either way with a TV show. Sometimes you bring in a big name and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, but I think they did it in the right way because he's not like a main character, you know? He kind of helps the plot along.
Exactly,
And his scenes are usually pretty intense and he does a good job. So it wasn't like just injecting this huge name into a series and making him a big part of it. And that was kind of their solution with no thought behind it.
Yeah, because I think that's what happened with the Office. Those 4 episodes after Steve Carell, they brought Will Ferrell in.
Yeah,
and that's something that worked out well.
Yeah, you're just like we got Will Ferrell, it'll be okay.
Yeah,
they just didn't put any thought into it.
It just didn't work out very well. Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, and then the other cable series that's coming up soon is I'm looking forward to is it's called Ray Donovan.
Okay,
it's
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's Liev Schreiber and John Voight.
Okay,
and Liev Schreiber plays like this Hollywood fixer.
Okay,
where basically he's like, you know, dead hooker is in my bed. Can you help me out? It's kind of like, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and his father, John Voight's his dad, who gets out of prison. I think they have some kind of issues and stuff like that.
What was that coming out on?
Showtime.
Showtime?
Yeah.
All right, so that will be real good.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to checking that one out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah. And I've been watching Veep, think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I like that show too. You know? Yeah, that's really good.
I mean, it makes me wonder, like, you know, is this really how it is?
Yeah.
You know, and it probably is, you know, a good amount of truth, you know. Mm. It's just so much backstabbing.
Oh, yeah, yep. Pulling favors to get your way and stuff.
Pulling favors to get your way. Yeah. It's like, this country, God, man. Why does it have to be like that?
Yeah.
And it's like that in regular business, too.
So. Yeah, even in non-political, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Julie Woodrow, she's good. She's really good, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's fantastic. And it's just hilarious, too. Yeah. It's absolutely hilarious. I think they got some great characters on it.
Yeah, it's weird to see, I don't know if you ever saw the My Girl movies, seeing her.
Yeah.
With her, you know, foul mouth and just it.
That is My Girl. I didn't put that 2 and 2 together until you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's great. The guy from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
He's in there. I think his character's fantastic.
Oh, he's good, yeah.
It's kind of a similar type
sort
character.
Sort of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how some of those actors and actresses kind of fall into that's their type of role.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and they're stuck there forever. Like a Michael Cera, too. He's kind of the same type of guy. He's always playing this similar type character. Which makes me think of The End of the World. Is that what it's called, the movie that they're in? Or
This is the End. Yeah.
This is the End.
With Rogan and
Jennifer. I really want to see that.
Yeah, actually, some reviews have been pretty positive.
I heard it was pretty darn funny.
Yeah, they were more positive than I thought they were going
to
be.
Yeah, so I'm anxious to watch that, too. I don't know if it's a go-to-the-movies type movie, but definitely when it comes out on DVD, I want to watch it.
Watch that, yeah. That's like the Apatow All-Stars there.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. So, I'll watch that one, too.
And they're all playing themselves, right?
Yeah, like characters of themselves. Yeah, yep.
It's fantastic.
So right, like I think I read in a review, like they at one point they make fun of Seth Rogen for the Green Hornet.
That's awesome.
And they kind of poke some fun at Jonah Hill for some of his post Moneyball money select because he, you know, he got nominated for an Oscar for that. And like
yeah.
some of his movies that since then have not been very
not
good.
Not been so good.
So they kind of take some shots at him. So that, yeah, that could probably be pretty funny. A good rental. And also on the big screen, I got to see Man of Steel on last Friday.
So what was your thought?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it's funny. I think I was reading a review in Time magazine, and the guy put it pretty well. He thought that the man stuff was super, but the super stuff was okay.
Yeah,
because I thought the story, kind of leading up to him becoming Superman was really really good.
Yeah,
and then like the last portion of the movie I saw was just I'm happy with the action in it, but I thought it was almost like too much.
I read a couple of reviews. I don't know, let's see if you agree with this. They basically said it was Independence Day with Superman as the hero, and they were kind of disappointed that there wasn't a lot of, because you know the main story Superman is love too. It's not just action.
Exactly,
and it was
yeah.
completely devoid of all of that.
Yeah,
and they were very disappointed. So they were just, you know, it was just a big budget action-packed film,
yeah.
movie, blockbuster, made for the summer to just make a ton of money, whereas the story lacked a lot.
Yeah, it was interesting because, I agree, because especially I said after I saw it with my girlfriend, I said that the last 45 minutes I felt was like a big-budget game of Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah.
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 But when they did, when they were away from the action, I thought the stuff was really good, like watching him, you know, there was a great scene, like because they did some flashbacks when he was younger, like when he was in elementary school and he's first developing his X-ray vision and super hearing, he like freaks out, and like his mom has to come to the school to, you know, to lock himself in the closet, and that kind of stuff was fantastic.
Yeah,
watching it, I mean, because Diane Lane played his, you know, Ma Kent, and Kevin Costner played his dad.
Yeah,
and they were both excellent.
Yeah, just to see him kind of grow up.
Yeah, so those scenes were great.
Yeah.
But yeah, just I thought they could have. And it's funny because Superman Returns, I thought, kind of lacked.
Yeah.
Lacked it, the action. So
exactly.
This one almost had a little bit too much.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, though, that I'm thinking they already fast-tracked a sequel, which blew my mind.
Oh, of course.
Before they even released the movie to the nationwide audience, they already said, we're going to do a sequel. So I just based the way the end, I think they're kind of might play back more into a little bit more of the humor and lightheartedness of Superman.
Well, and hopefully, I mean, do you think they're shooting it already?
I don't think so. I don't think they have a script yet. I just think they're kinda...
So then hopefully they can get some feedback. You
exactly,
know, take some of that criticism to heart.
Yeah, because what happens sometimes with like certain TV shows that are shot like the whole season shot before it's even aired, and then they can't fix. You know,
you're done. You're cooked.
Exactly. So I think they'll take a look and see some of the criticism and maybe tweak it. But yeah, like I said, I felt like the first part of it was really really good, and then just once they got to like the action part, was just a little bit too much. It was like, oh wow. At one point I thought. The fighting was over, and then it's like, oh man, one more fight scene, really? You know,
that's ridiculous.
That's never good. So,
yeah.
But overall, I thought more of it was good than was bad.
Good.
Yeah. So, but I'm looking forward to the next one. As I said, I wish they shot them back to back, so the sequel is coming out next year. But you know, it doesn't always work that way.
Nice.
Yeah, just 'cause they got to make sure the first one does okay. So I'd recommend it to people who, you know, enjoy superhero movies. I think they would like it. Just be prepared that the last portion of it's just very, very, very action packed.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then to close out, just want to see if you had any beer suggestions as we head into the weekend, as we're doing this on a Thursday.
I'm actually going to the beach this weekend, and my buddy wants to do an IPA testing, and so I'm assuming we're gonna get, you know, 5 or 6 bottles and line them up and do a little comparison.
Oh, nice.
But I'm actually going to Maine on vacation in about a month, and it made me think about Maine Brewing Company. They actually make some really, really good beer. So anything from Maine Brewing Company, if you can find them on the shelves. And they're, I think it's either an IPA or double IPA called Lunch. And my buddy says it's incredible. I'm going to have the pleasure of tasting it this weekend, and I can report back to you guys on how it is. But he's a pretty big beer guy, and he's got good taste. So
okay.
if he says it's good and you like your IPAs, if you see Lunch by Maine Brewing Company, definitely pick it up off the shelves and tweet us or let us know what you think of it.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. Yeah, I look forward to hearing your book report, so to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do my research this weekend.
Sweet, sweet. So, yeah, this has been good. Yeah, it's good. Like, you know, so we, sorry we missed you guys last week, but we're back and we should be, you know, throughout the summer we'll come up with stuff hopefully to talk about until football and hockey start back up
again. I will figure something out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, as Mike said, you can tweet us at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email at the GD Podcast at gmail.com. And for Mike Grant, I am Joe Dighton, and we will talk to you next time.